shift the gears with DD Speed Shop. We're back again with tales from the garage where the hot rods rain. Dan and Murr, they're the wrench-turning crew with Danny by their side. The podcast begins. They're talking classic hot rods and new cars too. Life hacks and lifestyle and a little YouTube. It's DD Speed Shop, the podcast.
Dan here, DD Speed Shop, Murr, right there, Danny behind the camera, and she's kind of in between cameras. Actually, before we get going, Murr, you'll get a kick out of this story.
Okay.
So last night, two nights ago.
So we had the host. Don't tell!
I said it in the video too. Murr has to hear it firsthand. He can't hear it in the video. And these people get to hear it ahead of time. So I had the hose out, and you know when we put the fence up, there's a front fence, and there's a fence kind of the back of the house. So for the people, it's kind of hard to describe here, but basically, there's a little section from the front of the house to the back of the house that has its own little fence section.
I'll take a picture for them.
There you go. You can put it in there. Anyways, and so I just kind of did that to kind of keep the dogs and all that sort of stuff. Anyways, it is what it is. It's irrelevant.
You've also screwed the front, too, so that no one can get out.
So we have a gate on the front, but I don't want anyone coming in, so I screwed the gates closed so nobody can come in.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, let's be honest here. The back gates, everything is like that. The only people coming and going from here are me and criminals. Anyways. So there's a gate to get in there, and that's where the hose spigot is. So you get a bit of a hassle. You got to kind of run it over and through the fence and all that stuff. Anyway, so I had it all there, and I was like, oh. You know, we had it open. Danny, we were washing the car, whatever we were doing there. It's 10 o'clock at night. We're inside, like, you know, pants off on the couch. It's the night's done. And I go, did we turn the water off? And she's turned on. I said, no. So she's like, oh, volunteers to go get it. I go, perfect. So anyway, she goes out there. The front gate screwed shut. The back gate, that's how you get in there. Opens the gate, gets in, gate latches itself, whatever, is windy, shuts it off. Well, the string that goes through the post to the thing is broken.
The other important thing about this story is I actually don't take my cell phone anywhere with me.
She has no phone. So now I'm sitting in the living room, which is on the other end of where this is, right? And giant house we have, obviously, like, through the manor. But anyway, so I'm sitting there. And I guess she's yelling, I don't hear. Well, then I hear pounding, and it's like, what's happening? Like, what's going on here? So I open the front door, don't hear it, you know, go to the back door, nothing. Well, it's coming from the bathroom. And I'm like, who the hell's pounding on the bathroom window? It's Danielle. She got like, so I'm like, what's happening? She's like, I'm stuck. I need help. The dogs are all wild now. It's like there's someone pounding on, so they're in the bathtub. I'm like, holy moly. So we had to run outside and go let her in and stuff. Yeah. Everyone's all, you know, crank right up for bed.
But I would like to say, unlike Murr, my pants stayed on.
It was not a pants-off situation.
You're lucky that you didn't just have a real tough day and fall asleep
yeah.
like a log.
Well, she's up there yelling, help, help. I'm like, what are the neighbors?
Well, I was calling your name.
Does he not allow her in?
Well, yeah, the police come. Yeah. The neighbors are fighting again.
All I could hope for was that somebody was maybe walking a dog or whatever.
And like, even that, what do they do? Because the front gate screwed shut.
Well, they
could
have knocked on the door for you
Excuse
at least.
Excuse me, there's someone stuck in your fence. So now I tell Danny, if she gets pissed off, she's going between the gates again. That's her time out. It's like a dog run for cranky girls. Anyways, we gotta put the hood on this thing, and as I recall, the hood fit like dog crap. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
We put it in?
Mm-hmm.
So I got the hinges on, so the hood's outside. Watch the paint, Murr. I just cleared this minutes ago, and look at all the runs. It's like you did it. Hey! I'll go on this side, so I walk backwards.
This hood is rusty and horrible.
The hood's seen better times, yeah.
That E-code is not...
Actually, you know what we should do is we should shine juice it.
Ooh,
get
yeah.
A little vice grip plug. Not sponsored yet. But
not sponsored
we're getting
ever.
There. Hey, Motor Trend, it's all coming our way here. So, close to anything? Oh, there's rust marks on it.
So that'll help.
Yeah. As I recall, this thing didn't fit, like, at all.
It had to move a bit, yes.
Because I had to, like, as I was painting the hood hinges, I noticed that I had drilled them out.
Uh-huh.
So, that makes you think.
Uh-huh. Well, I want a little hood counter at the bottom of the video. Number of hood installed, number 96.
You had the entire winter off, Murr.
That's very true, Murr. Danielle is really picking up. You can just stand on the front. One there. What have we got going on there? You hardly moved any hoods.
Well,
if it wasn't for the damn laws, we didn't even have to have any hoods on at all. Yeah, well, this hood really, it's rough.
This hood, though, is like one of the last remaining relics of traveling sign painters.
Yeah, this one's staying.
Only a few left.
It needs a little bit of love there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what do you think? I'm going to line this up with the... Where are the scrapes here? Oh, there we go. I marked it with a scribe.
Did you? That's uncharacteristic.
Not gonna lie, you might have done that the last time you pulled it off this thing. Because there's no chance I did it. So the hood will be lined up on the hinges. It's just over the hinges lined up on the car. So we'll see.
Mm-hmm.
This one has a scribe on it too. Are we that lucky? Oh, we are. Just like that.
Oh, somebody must have been clever.
Slam test? I have the hinges all the way down. As I recall, that was the main issue. How are we doing there?
Well, this isn't bad at all.
Yeah.
Oh, that's much better.
But see, it fit one, not the other. This is how it was. It never fit that great.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not bad.
No.
You want to give it a shine juice? Maybe I'll tighten the hinges right.
You could probably just knock this out just a tad in both corners and it would line up perfect.
Well, you know what? It's done right now, though. Oh, I did tighten these. Wow.
Wow. Oh.
That was amazing.
Just like clockwork.
You didn't see that one coming. I really
thought it would
in
be
the
a thing.
Show notes, this was supposed to be 23 minutes.
And
we got to fill some stuff here, Murr. I do want to shine it up, though. Oh, that one was loose. Here we go. Having shiny stuff is a nightmare.
I can't believe.
Look how good this looks, though. Oh, yeah, I need to trim there.
Oh, that's just... Just like downtown, as we used to say.
You want to do some of the battery? You want to do it right now?
If you want to do it right now,
so Murr wants to do a tech tip with Danielle, of all people.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That has me concerned.
So what do you want to show her?
Well, I want to show her. Now, this is something that...
I want to show her something quick here before you go too crazy.
Okay.
Are you watching? So just be aware, Murr's going to have you touch this. So just be aware, whatever Murr does, that is possibility.
I was...
This is like the magician... cutting you in half trick.
Yeah. See, now foolish me, I was just going to do this to show that the battery is fully charged and live, but not so melodramatic. So what I'm going to have the lovely Danielle do is come over here and touch the positive with one of her hands and the negative with the other one, and we're going to see if she dies.
Lick your fingers first.
So this is... This is
a
little
like
bit of shop safety.
You gotta be quick.
Is it even? I don't know if that's in frame. I don't know what the frames are right now.
Oh yeah, you got maximum carnage. Go for it.
So I just touch it.
You touch the. This is the negative. This is the positive. So touch one with this hand. Now I want you to touch the other one.
At the same time.
At the same time. Are you gonna die?
Well, am I going to die?
Well, I don't know. I make sure the camera's focused. Okay, go.
I really thought both of you loved me.
I don't know.
Come on.
Can you go away?
Just touch it. What's the worst that'll happen?
At the same time?
At the same time.
What is going to happen, though?
Probably nothing. Your hair might do the ring.
Yeah, and you get a little sparkle in your eye.
Okay, did it.
No.
Come on. Nothing.
Okay.
You're fine.
Here, nothing. You're fine. Okay, so that's this week's tech tip, that you can touch the battery with your hands and not get a shock.
Do you want to put a wire across it and see what happens?
What if we got a potato? Wasn't that an experiment in school?
Well, yeah, but it's a little different than that. Okay. So
that was it? All that, that climax
well,
for nothing?
But you see,
it's not the volts, it's the amps.
That's right. Well, it's...
Or whatever. I don't
know. Yeah. That's just the thing that a lot of people have that same reaction as
that
you
can't
have,
touch
that
both.
You can't do that. Now, and the reason why you can't do that is because battery has 12 volts, and volts is how much force is the electricity being pushed out of the battery. Think of it like your water hose, like how much pressure is coming out of your water hose. So this is 12 volts. The distributor has 25,000 or 50,000, or depending what it is, or 80,000.
Do you want to fire this thing up and pull a wire off?
I don't.
You'll feel that.
No, we don't want to
think
do that.
Would be bad.
We don't want to do that. So the reason why you didn't get hurt is the 12 volts can't push out enough energy to go through the resistance of your skin. So that's why you're safe.
Science. Well,
science, that's
but
right.
But don't do that on a Tesla.
But don't do that, or the wall socket, if you stick your finger in the wall socket.
Wall sockets are bad. Orange wire's bad.
Orange wire's bad. Okay.
Well, that was fun.
But what can happen...
she's done.
What also can happen that... Let's leave the hood up for a second.
Oh,
you
sorry.
Yeah.
I was going to get on the shiny...
Yeah, I know. I just wanted to tell a little story that happened to a friend of mine. And it is a very interesting little story. He was changing the headlight bulb in his Ford Ranger. Oh, that's a pretty simple thing to do. Mm-hmm. So you just reach in like here between the battery and get the light off, okay? But what the thing is, two things about this man.
He's wearing a watch.
He has a Medic Alert bracelet on his hand, yeah. Pretty close. And on that truck, the positive was right next to the frame, went in there to do it, and arced out the Medic Alert bracelet. And those are really good steel. So it immediately turned red hot and then some, and cooked his arm, and at the same time got his hand stuck in there because those things are designed not to come off.
Yes.
So that was just one of those fluky little things. This is an experienced technician. He just, I'll just do this real quick. Yeah, I won't disconnect the battery, which everybody has done. And unfortunately, this was really a severe burn. I don't know what the degree is, but it was bad.
Yeah.
So he ended up having to go to the hospital because it got infected and all that. But fortunately, they said, well, don't worry, we'll just give you some penicillin, it'll fix you right up. The medical the Medic Alert bracelet, penicillin allergy. So, a full circle of be careful.
Well,
battery has a lot of current in it.
The only thing that I have that's kind of mediocre is long hair. But I do try and keep my, the grinder away. But rings, watches... I mean, even like loose-fitting clothing, it's like you got to be aware of that. I mean, you don't think of it. And, I mean, automobile is a little different if you're a machinist, let's say, with a lathe. Mm-hmm. But still, I mean, a little battery or, I mean, a belt or any of those things, the alternator spinning, the fan, all sorts of bad things can happen. And it happens fast.
It happens real fast. It's a fun hobby, but there's a few little things you just got to be careful with. And that battery is
well,
one of them.
And ultimately, as, I mean, skipping corners, step one on doing almost anything, pull the battery. Like, just pull the negative, and then that wouldn't have been an issue no matter what, really, at the end of the day. But you don't think when you're changing a light bulb, I shouldn't do that. But you should. And I mean, and new stuff, you should do it just because of your welding, electronics, all those things, all sorts of issues. But
well, there's two more items.
Oh,
now you bring that up.
Oh, look at that.
And you
we're
don't
filling
even,
the time
you
here.
Even know this, yeah. First of all, when you charge a battery, it produces a gas called lighter than air.
Helium.
Hydrogen.
Pretty close.
Lithium.
Hydrogen.
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 So don't be smoking.
What do you know about hydrogen?
It's very buoyant for blimps.
Oh, okay, for blimps. Hindenburg
the
explosion,
bomb.
All that stuff.
The
right.
bomb.
Yeah, that's right. And if you do create a little arc like Dan just did, not me knowing you seem to do that, of course, is if there was hydrogen around here, which there is when you charge a battery, you can explode the battery. And that's not good. Couple of reasons. Contains sulfuric acid. Not the best thing to get over there.
Have you ever seen a battery blow up? Google that.
Yes.
It's bad.
Yes, I've experienced it a few times when I was teaching of people hooking up the battery backwards. Charger backwards or arcing it out. So new batteries, they're sealed a lot more. A lot of them have an external vent, so if it charges, it goes away from the battery a little bit. But always be careful. You don't want to have an arc around that.
But that's battery. Where, to the average Joe, so Danny's thinking it'll never happen to her, but if you're boosting a car, let's say, and it's cranking, and it's charging and all these things, and you just arc the battery because you're hooking it up, you could have a serious problem.
This is why I will just call you.
You call CAA. Yeah.
Always, if you're charging, if you're boosting a battery, hook up the positives first, then hook up the ground to the dead car, and then hook up the ground to the good car, where if there is any hydrogen, it's not going to be around. It's running. This is the one that's going to have the hydrogen.
Yeah.
If you, whenever you make your last connection, you will have an arc, and you don't want to do it where the hydrogen is. So, yeah.
I have a question.
Sure.
But you recently told us that you shouldn't boost a car battery from car to car.
Right. Assuming you have old cars, or assuming you've got a known good battery, doesn't have to be in there.
Or you want to follow the rules.
Whatever you hook up, the last connection, you will have an arc. So if it's just a battery and the battery's over on the side, you're fine. It's just hooking it up around the battery. Whereas Dan says, when you use a battery, it does produce that hydrogen. When you charge it, it produces hydrogen. And hopefully, being lighter than air, it all has just gleefully flown away.
If you're outside or it's windy, there's all, the odds are slim.
The whole thing with safety is based on, is it likely going to happen? Probably not.
But if it does, you got
a problem. But if you disconnect, like the ground when you're working on something, then you're 100% safe. You can't do much. Unless, of course, you start to use the battery as a tray, which some people do, and you manage to put your ratchet down, and then a couple of bolts, and then a couple of pair of pliers.
They keep talking about you, Dan.
And is it the fender you want or the battery you want? I can only do one or the other. The internet doesn't like when it's on the paint, so it goes on the battery sometimes.
All right, last thing about batteries.
I'm just going to re-rig here.
Signpost batteries make better shelves. A little tech tip there as well.
Okay. From the magic toolbox, tool time. It becomes.
You're right blocking.
You're showing the good side.
I'll put you in the fence like there's no tomorrow.
This little device is called a memory saver. $20, really cheap. It has the OBD2 connection, which is any car after 97. We'll have this, and a 12-volt provision, which goes into your portable battery pack, or some of them have alligator clips. You just need supply 12 volts. When you disconnect the ground on this car, nothing happens. Worst case scenario, if you have a digital radio, it loses the memory. On newer cars, all kinds of very bad things can happen. You lose all the parameters that are in there. A lot of times it only comes up by learning, which means you have to drive the car. It might change the shift parameters, run shitty for a while. All that sort of stuff. If you've done programming, you can affect that. A lot of things can go wrong. All your power windows, auto up, auto down, auto sunroof, don't work. So you have to reprogram that. And it's a pain in the ass, not hard, but why do it? This device here just supplies 12 volts to the rest of the car, so when you disconnect the battery, it still has all the 12 volts. Sort of like how they do a bypass when they take your heart out, right? So this thing just runs on this. Now, having said that, the 12 volt will still have power from this, so you'll just take the positive, wrap it with a cloth or something so it doesn't touch, because you can then arc it still. But when you do that, put the battery back on, unplug it, everything will be exactly the way you left it without any sort of problem. So well worth $20 on any kind of a car using the OBD system.
All I heard was buy something 1994 and older.
Well,
are we going to do something fun and wipe the hood down there?
Okay, well, let's take a brief pause.
A brief pause.
Nailed it.
Are we live?
Yeah.
Don't you say action? Something like that?
Hey, Murray, you want to get the hood up there? Let's go. Come on, where people are watching. Look at that. Now, you know what, gentlemen? There's nothing wrong with looking for a little help to get it up every now and again. Which brings me to today's sponsor, Blue Chew. Blue Chew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra, Cialis, and Levitra, but in chewable tablets at a fraction of the cost. Maybe don't have your old man help you out all the time there, but hey, whatever works. You can take them anytime, day or night. You can plan ahead or be ready whenever the opportunity arises. The process is very simple. Head to BlueChew.com, consult with one of their licensed medical providers, and once you're approved, you'll receive your prescription within a few days in a confidential, non-discreet package, as I've heard. Best part, all done online. No doctor's visits, no awkward conversations, and no waiting in line at the pharmacy. Blue Chew tablets are made in the U.S. of A., prepared and shipped direct to your door in a discreet package. That was a pretty good little intro. Anyways, what do I say here? Blue Chew wants to help you have better sex. Discover your options at BlueChew.com. Chew it and do it. I love their little slogan there. Cracks me up every time. We've got a special deal for you, all of our listeners. Try Blue Chew for free. For freemer.
Free.
Say it for free. That's your favorite thing. It's better than a garage sale. Promo code DDSS at checkout. Just pay the $5 in shipping. BlueChew.com. Promo code DDSS to receive your first month for free at BlueChew.com. For more details, important safety information. And as always, we thank Blue Chew for sponsoring this podcast. Because without them, we couldn't get her off. Anyway, now I want to go ahead and use a completely unsponsored product that I paid for with my hard-earned YouTube dollars. Try and use. And actually, Mert, so
yes, Dan.
I'll do two things at once here because, you know, a little Blue Chew, you can get a lot done in a hurry. But this E-coat went to crap here.
E-coat is not supposed to be left out in the weather.
But I thought, oh, God, I've mangled it. You're all supposed to use a rag and all sorts of things. I thought this was meant so it can go from China to Canada without getting screwed up. Is that not?
If it's in a container ship and not exposed to any kind of atmosphere, yes. But E-coat is not primer.
This stuff does smell good.
Oh, it does smell good. I will say. It is fantastic smelling.
Maybe I'll put a little dab behind the ears and a little blue chew and we'll see what happens tonight, eh?
I'm very prone to migraines, so I do have a hard time when you are like in here using stuff. And it's just all the chemical-y smells, and it just, like, it does set me off for a migraine, and then I have, like, a huge migraine for 3 days.
What chemicals specifically get you out of here?
Wait, I'll open a couple of cans.
All you have to do is give me $100, and I'll be gone, baby.
Well, that fixes it all. Anyway, so we did a couple days ago at this point, or maybe a week ago at this point, I went and bought that 55 four-door Chevrolet and that 55 Pontiac. And we put the video up, and we put some stuff on Facebook, and people are, like Danny said, well, let's keep it a four-door.
I saw
pink
that.
Car. And I was like, whatever. But, I mean, originally, when I saw that, it was like, that had DD Speed Shop written all over it. I mean, it had a two-door car with all the guts, a four-door tri-five 55 Chevy, and a set of real quarter panels.
Absolutely.
I mean, it was, tough. So that came up on Sunday night. And I was like, oh, I need that. Then I was like, no, I'm trying to sell things, trying to get rid of things. And Monday rolls around. Well, it was Corey Penny had it. So Monday goes around, I'm like, I got to text him. So I text him. I'm like, hey, what's the deal here? He's like, oh, yeah, I was thinking about you, but I knew you were kind of trying to sell a few things.
That's a sign of a good friend, actually.
He honestly, he should be my sponsor.
Yes, that's right.
So anyways.
Corey, I'm thinking of buying more stuff. Talk me off the ledge.
So he's like, oh, you know, this and that. And he had the classic, you know, tire kickers and this and that. So I sent a message. I was like, they got titles? Yeah. And I only thought it had one quarter panel because the terrible pictures were hilarious. Yeah. Like they were, did you see the ad?
Yeah, I did.
It was a picture of a picture. Yeah. It's 2024 and they're on YouTube and that's what they do. I made fun of them pretty hard for it.
Can you move over a little bit?
Come on, we're getting in frame. Yeah.
Right into the frame would be great.
All right. Get that wide angle going here.
There's a lot happening here, everybody, so struggle bussing.
So anyways, you know, go look at, well, it comes with both quarter panels and this and that. I was like, oh, I just can't say no. So of course, go out, look at them. And I said, well, how long can they stay here? Oh, I don't care, this and that. Well, now, of course, it's top of the list. I want to work on them right away.
Of course.
So the problem is we've been thinking. That's always a problem when you're thinking. And so Danny wants to keep that thing. Originally, I was like, I mean, that Pontiac saws all the pieces, take what I want out of it. It had two-door bench seat, the windows, the crank, like the old back mechanism, like all that stuff. Perfect. We're mint here. And then, you know, you got two frames, one's junk or whatever. But I was like, oh, that thing would be, that would be an afternoon, and it would be in the BFI bin, and we'd be all taken care of. Well, then the comments are going, fix the Pontiac up and keep the 55 four-door. So I'm like, okay. And, like, I don't know a whole lot about Pontiacs. They're not my favorite looking car versus a 55.
No.
But I guess to our American audience, it's kind of a unique car. Because they don't, like, a 55 Pontiac was not a
different deal altogether.
Because in Canada, I mean, basically a 55 Pontiac is a Chevy.
Yeah,
55 Chevy with different kind of
different fenders and different taillights and trunk lid.
Yeah. And I didn't realize, so I started Googling to see how many they made, and they think they made like 40,000 55 Canadian Pontiacs in 1955, and kind of hard to find some exact numbers, so maybe I'm dead wrong there, but that's all of them, like four doors, two doors,
Canadian numbers.
So I mean, like, did they have wagons, convertibles? Did they have all that stuff, or what was it?
Well, I don't know.
Pass me that lid there so I don't spill it. So, I mean, ultimately, in all reality, it is, I mean, not a rare, rare car. I mean, it's 40,000, I guess, but it's a unique, you know, unit.
Give me that cloth. You got to spill over here.
I hate to get some on the paint. It's meant for paint. I thought it looks way better now.
It does.
I think you're supposed to wipe it off, though, aren't you? I forget.
Only there was a jar with instructions on it.
Now I got a fresh rag. So anyways, so that 55, now I'm thinking, well, do I keep it? Or what do we do? Because they actually have kind of neat dashes and stuff like that. I mean, like, Pontiacs are very, you know, kind of like that. But I'm not a big fan of the bumpers. I'm not a big fan of the taillights, the quarters and all that. So it is what it is. So
you'll have to do a little investigation. Because in some years, and I don't know all of them, but the Pontiacs had more power than the Chevy. Because a Chevy is a 235 and a Pontiac is a 261 six-cylinder.
Oh.
So, there you go.
Well, ultimately, what we decided to do with that, I'm not too sure. Now that if we keep that 55 four-door, which I have a plan for that. You can wipe the excess off there. Come on, get to work, man.
Yes, sir.
I do have a 55 Chevy front clip. Because when I put the front clip, that flip front end of the gasser, like the my two-lane car.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
So I think I have a hood, but I for sure have two good fenders. So, I mean, we could put a 55 Chevy front end on it. That would immediately eliminate all the ugly. That Nomad came with, I have it somewhere, an extra grill. I got headlight buckets. I mean, really, we got 80% of a 55 Chevy front end. The doors and all that are the same. The windows are all the same. And then all I need is a guy that has a four-door, you know, rotten 55, and I'll just, like, you know, cut like a couch cut. And I can weld it on the back, and we'd have a 55 Chevrolet. So that's plan one. Which I don't know, it might just get gutted. Because ultimately, I mean, what is... Oh, I got clear floor in the window. What is a 55 two-door Pontiac worth? I mean, I don't think it's worth... I think it's neat.
And they're ugly.
Well, the bumpers are very ugly and stuff like that. But, you know,
the headlight,
that little eyebrow. That's not for me.
No,
I agree. I don't want to talk too bad because Corey is a 55 Pontiac owner.
Yeah.
So I mean, he. You know,
I think he's got the money.
Yeah. So, anyways, you know, a different front clip on it. We can do some playing around, and then maybe leave the dash because the dash is probably unique and kind of neat. Interior be about the same. I think they have a triangle bezel or something like that.
They're different.
They're like
I
a truck
that,
or something. Anyways, but so we'll look into that. But then the 55, so, that being said, before I did any thinking and put it out for the internet to give any advice, went to Walker Auto, bought a floor pan, so that's coming. Went on eBay, got a front disc brake kit and tubular control arms. So, I mean, this, like, $1,700 gone. Anyway, thinking I'm just going to build one car out of it. Well, now I'm like, okay, we're doing this, and Danny kind of wants to keep that four-door. So now I'm thinking, well, what's the fastest way to get that thing taken care of? And I was going to sell that 57 ragtop, right?
Right.
Well, now I'm starting doing the math. If I drill the spot welds out of the floor, I lift the body off, 55 body, cut the floor out, put it on, rust-free car, done. Because that thing has disc brakes, all new front suspension, motor, trans, exhaust. It's on a legit convertible frame, which is stiff and nice. I mean, it's got all new brakes on it. I mean, it's got a wiring harness in it. It's got new carpet. It's got a new windshield, but 57 is different. So do I try and sell that than just
so
buy stuff
many
again?
Options. Yes. Yeah.
So we can let the viewers give me their opinion. But otherwise, I mean, I'm into it anyway. So I paid $1,000 a car. So I'm into it for $1,000. Floor's $1,000. You know, another $1,000 for front end bits. So we're going to be $3,000 into each car, no matter how you look at them. And then we still got to do interior, motor trans, you know, wiring harness, lights, whatever you got to do. Like, before you know it, you'll have $6,000-$7,000 in that four-door. Mm-hmm. And that still needs then paint and screwing around and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Unless the motor's good. I mean, it'd be kind of cool if we get that six-cylinder running. Six-cylinder automatic. I've never seen a Tri-5 automatic. Everyone I've ever bought has been column shift.
Yeah.
So it's kind of got a cool column in it. And it has, like, the horn ring and all that was there. So that's... Yeah. I don't. The only one I ever bought that's like that was... The Nomad had it all complete. And then... I think the two are the Black Widow, but it was a column shift car. So that's kind of neat. So I think it'd be a really neat car for Danny to kind of cruise around in. But if the motor's junk, motor trans, drive shaft, all that, like, you know, all the little things. I mean, just the brakes, the e-brake stuff, the whatever.
Let's talk about the most important part about that car, though. Paint scheme.
It's pink, yeah, Danny.
It's pink.
Coral and gray is what I want.
So my favorite, I like on a two-door hardtop, is pink with a gray top.
Right.
Doesn't look as good on a four-door sedan, but...
I've been thinking about this a lot, though, about that. I think I just want, like, so it's going to be pink on, like, the bottom half, and then the back fender top, like, where the trim is, above the trim, that can be gray. And then the trunk will still be, like, pink, and then the other half would be gray.
No,
I don't think I want a gray roof.
I'm with you on that, but you have to have the deck lid gray, because there's no paint, there's no break. So there's a paint line on the quarter, so you can do the top half of the quarter, and just part of the back door, or whatever it is.
Okay.
And then the whole trunk, the trunk lid, and all that could be gray, but then the roof half can stay pink. That would look okay.
Yeah, I just don't want, like, half gray, half pink. I want, like, a touch of gray.
That car was also, it was white. It looked like it was white top and trunk.
But then I want the
paint.
Front
and it was
fender.
No, so the same as my 57. The whole car was black, and then the two-tone was white on top of the black.
Right.
So the whole car was pink, and then it must have had white
and they added,
on top.
Yeah.
Well, we'll have to decode it and stuff like that and see. But that wouldn't, white and pink would look okay.
Yeah.
I want the gray, which really surprised me.
I think that would be the last thing. She wants to paint it. I'm like, she's like, don't worry, I'll pay for the paint. I can swing a $300. It's the weeks of body work I don't want to do.
I said I would do the body work.
So, and I got a set of rockers coming. So, I mean, that thing could be like right quick into a car.
Yeah, it looks like a real solid car from the
video. Reminded me of Danny's car, the 57, when we got it. So, we got that. The Pontiac is on the block. And then I got you my convertible thing. So, I think that's...
They're melding in there.
So, the problem is I've sold three cars. Danny, I want to talk about that. So I sold three, and actually I kind of had that convertible sold, so I might renege on that a little, but I bought three. So I'm net zero positive there, but there's more money in the bank, so we're doing okay. It's a real problem. But, I mean, whatever. We're looking for cash to buy property, but ultimately I still got to build cars.
So, yeah.
It's very therapeutic letting them go, and I think that convertible, the guy really wants it. Actually, I got a guy wants a 47 pretty bad, too. And then I got two guys right now. I'm talking about those Camaros. Camaro.
Yeah.
So stuff's kind of going. And then I still got to bring the Cobra out, get that all kind of taken care of. But dealing with Facebook people, Kijidiots.
Yeah.
Kijidiots.
Well, that's how you got this car.
Yeah.
Right?
The guy
couldn't put up with the idiots anymore.
So that being said, I know we're different in price, and I'm very different now, too. I think I'm, when I got those two cars in the court, I just paid Corey what he wanted. I didn't even haggle, here's your money, let's go. The only thing I haggle on now is, when do I have to get it out of here?
Yeah.
That's my version of haggling now, so I'm paying for storage, I guess, but...
Well, it's a good thing you didn't phone me, because I would have said, you got to buy them. So there you go.
Oh, good. Even
well, he didn't phone anyone and just bought them.
Yeah.
And then...
Oh, I bought them on text, yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't go look at them.
No.
I said, oh, you want to go look at these things tonight? You know, came home with yeah, sure. I already own them.
And then he sent me the picture. He just goes, I did something bad or whatever. Sends me the picture. I'm like, where are those from? And then I go, I know that yard. And immediately text him back, the pennies.
I didn't say anything bad. I said I bought two cars.
Yeah.
I wasn't looking for forgiveness or anything. I knew what I was doing. But, yes, we got those. But now dealing with people. So a few cars were pretty easy. The Camaro, I'm trying to ask, like, not real money, but fair money in my mind. I mean, it's 15 grand American is what I'm asking for that thing. It's a roller. And the way I look at it, I think that's just what a Dynacorn body costs.
Yeah.
With no VIN, no driveline, no brakes.
It's a ton of work.
And a ton of work. And not a piece of interior, not a clip, not anything.
Yeah.
So I think you got to buy that. Plus, you need a parts car for the title, depending on how you're doing that, and then all the little bits. So I think I'm fair. I'm not going to take a bath on it. I want to get my money out of it. I think it's a fair price. I did make money on YouTube with it, but I think that's fair for everybody.
Yeah, no, I think that's reasonable.
And people, I had a guy just today message me, you know, this and that, asking about, oh, yeah, going this and that. Well, I don't really need it. So, like, what's the least you'll take?
Uh-huh.
Well, this car ain't for you, I said.
Yeah.
What's that supposed to mean? Well, it means I don't need to sell it.
Yeah.
I'm just done with it.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to lose.
Can you read the price?
Yeah.
There you go.
If I'm gonna take a bath on it, I'll sell it to a friend or whatever or you know, anything like that.
Well, and then that's also like he's not the right guy. Like something that we very much take care of is we want cars to go to the right people.
I do like when the car goes to a good person. And exactly.
It's the beginning of summer.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's early.
Yeah.
And really, I mean, that car can sit. It ain't going to get any worse sitting outside a gravel parking lot. And I can work on it again next year. I can put an automatic in it. I can cut the back seat. I can fit it properly. I can do whatever I want to it.
Yeah.
That's irrelevant. But it just drives me the haggling people. I don't mind it because I am always trying to get a deal. But I also, you show up with cash, a trailer, or a tow truck, and you make a deal with the guy right there.
That's a reasonable
thing. I hate the amount of people that you know have it listed in just like 12K question mark.
Yeah.
Block. Like, yeah. I just...
Well, and you show up like on a time as well. I think when people are like, oh, I'll come by in the afternoon sometime. No, give me a window between 1 and 4. Fine.
Well, I believe in used car karma. So I always, if I say I'm going to be there at 5 o'clock, I'm there at 5 o'clock. If I'm going to make an offer, it's going to be in person, I'm going to have the cash in my pocket. Or at least a deposit or something. It's not going to be, you know, throw it at the wall, see it'll stick. And, well, I mean, I'd be stupid not to do it. Well, obviously.
Yeah.
Like these people out there throwing out these numbers, if I put that car up for $10,000, like it would be... It'd be a fist fight trying to load it on the trailer.
Well,
I realize that.
No matter what you put, whatever price, there's going to be some idiot. If you ask me 10, will you take 6? No, go away. Don't even type the letters.
I don't
know.
I think, because on the flip side, I hate the guys. I mean, there's a car just like mine for sale right now for 40. Like, you know, that I'm looking at. Which, I mean, it's got 327 in it and a power glide or whatever, but come on, that's not... If I'm 15, that guy's 40.
Yeah.
That motor is not that. So you don't want to be that idiot. But just no matter what you do, the internet.
Yeah, the internet.
If you guys weren't watching all these terrible ads, I'd be more mad at you. Yeah. What else did I want to talk about? I had something else I wanted to go over. Now I'll take a break and we'll get right back to it. Maybe.
We're good.
Okay, Danny's
action.
Danny's turned all the cameras off. So we're back with it, and this segment is actually brought to you by my mom. And it's how to save a relationship.
So, the story is this. As many of you do, I'm sure, I have my garage tools and I have my house tools. So you're not going back and forth through the garage all the time. So we have a basement in our house, so I have my house tools in there. So inevitably you go down there to pick up something, and you go out and you're doing the stuff and there's a light on. And I would always leave the light on, which would drive Dan's mom crazy to the point where 10:30 at night, did you turn off the light?
Can't see the light. There's no glow coming up the stairs.
No,
zero effect other than up here.
But yet 50% of the relationship can't go to sleep if that light is on. So that translates to if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. So I would do this all the time, and plus it's a pain because if you're working in the daylight, it's bright, you go into the basement, it's dark, it's hard to see, so you have to have the light on, blah, blah, blah. So what we came up with is this little solution here. This is called a proximity switch or an occupancy switch, and you've probably seen them in the washrooms a lot of times. So I just hook this up to the door going into the laundry room, tool room, and now you never have to turn the light on. As you walk in, it goes on, you do your thing, it shuts off anywhere from 10 minutes to an hour, whatever you set it for, and it comes out, and we've never had an argument about it again. And it's been, at least 10 or 12 years. So this would be right up there with the best $20 you're ever going to spend if you have that.
If you have that problem.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, the other thing is, I mean, now you can buy Bluetooth bulbs and like turn up your phone and all that too. So, there we go. And there we go. Look at
and
that.
There we have.
It's almost like we planned this segment.
The new version one, this is the Wi-Fi version of that. And again, $20. You can set it for when it goes off, or if you forget, you can turn it on and off your phone. But the occupancy one is nice because it doesn't do anything unless you happen to go in there. But either choose your poison, $20, well worth it, and no more arguments.
Now, those are clearly not taken out of the basement, so those would be spares.
They would be.
And they look like they've been pre-wired.
Mm-hmm.
What store did you buy them from? Is the question I have.
Well, actually, one came from, it's called Habitat Restore here, which is, they have building materials, all kinds of stuff donated to charity. And the other one came from, wait for it, garage sale.
Oh, there we go. So a lot of you guys don't know, both my parents are avid sailors. Every Saturday, go sailing. Garage sailing. Anyway, so there you go. Save a relationship at the garage sale or the thrift store.
Or even at the store.
It's worth the real
money. It's worth the $20, yeah.
So, if people have been asking about the Bricklin.
Right.
So, 2 days ago, a guy reached out to us kind of through, a guy was watching, friend of a friend type thing, and he had a couple of Bricklins. He's had many, actually, as it turns out. He's clearly a delusional individual. Very nice guy, but
very nice guy,
must be not all there. Yeah. And he says, hey, I have some parts, and I have a couple of Bricklins, and he was out of country until recently.
Yeah, it was in Arizona.
So we drove out there. What was his name? Cliff?
Russ?
Russ.
Russ. Terrible name.
Wait, Russ or Ross?
Murray would know. Anyway, super nice guy. Super friendly.
Yeah.
And,
he has lots of stories.
So we go over there, we drive out, he's like an hour out of town or something like that. We load up, we go out there, he had two Bricklins. One's his kids or something, apparently.
Yeah.
And so we had a 74, so an early one, which had the AMC.
American Motors driveline.
AMC motor. It was a stick car.
And a manual transmission, which was only in that first year. Very rare car.
And there was fewer made in that.
Right?
So pretty unique car.
Right.
And both cars were original-ish, paint, but gel coating. He changed a fender here and there or whatever, but for the most part, pretty original cars. And very nice.
Very nice.
It's crazy to think there's two, I mean, they only made 3,000 or whatever was total, or 2,800 or something like that, right?
Yeah. I've forgotten. Now, I looked it up once.
It wasn't that
many. No.
And there's two, which were, you know, and he had all sorts of cool stories. He went down, sidetrack here, but he went down to Arizona and bought a Bricklin, got it fixed up enough, drove it home almost all the way to Manitoba, and got it here, whatever. He was just, it's a parts car. Well, then some guy tracked him down. It turns out it was a police car in, where was it?
Florida, somewhere south. They made three Bricklin police cars. And they used them in that town.
They
and
gave this a Malcolm Bricklin, who was a huckster.
Oh, yes.
To the, I love the guy.
Oh, yeah.
Like, when you read the stories, he knew how to chat his way in to make a few bucks.
He'd squeeze a dollar till it screamed, that's
so
for sure.
So he gave them three of these cars. And it was cool. So, I mean, you got to think back, it's a 74-5.
Yeah.
So the cop cars on the road, that they were like your classic cherry on the roof, four-door whatever. So he showed us a picture. It was white on the top with like blue
on the side.
On the side or whatever. And it had like a candy machine, whatever you call them, on top.
Right.
Like it was, I mean, 1975, you thought that's trying to pull you over? You're just like, oh, I'm not running this rocket ship.
Well, the guy comes over to pull you over and he just psh.
Well, that was hydraulics. So it was
that was.
So you have time to get away?
Yeah.
I'll be getting you right away. but this guy was just a wealth of information because he's been collecting them for many years. And
when did you buy his first one? 94?
It was something like
but he bought it before they were cool.
He was right on top, and he was nice enough to share all kinds of information that he had with it, like what pieces came from what car, which is going to be just absolutely invaluable in defining this, because all the people that know that are pretty hard to find, and to find a guy that's is basically an hour away from our town that will answer my call. And yeah, it's super nice guy. And he said, call me if you need anything. And he shared all kinds of information with us, which I've tried to do some work and looking on the internet, but man, he's just got it right up here. Was there. So
1995 or whatever it is. Like, he's been doing it 30 years. He's had these cars.
Yeah.
So he's like, he knows them front to back.
Absolutely.
Like, I still think the best tip that he gave us was about pressure washing the cracks. And then all of that is just dirt.
So while we were looking, like, obviously, we're calling it MERS brickling because I don't want to be part of that. But it's pretty rough.
Pretty rough.
It's got big cracks in it and stuff. And, the body panels are coming up. But I will say one thing I didn't know, and I wish I would have done a little, seen what that guy had. All the panels in his cars were riveted on. Like, so these ones all lifted. I just glued them back on. But honestly, a rivet or whatever it is probably would have been.
We'll have to look and see if some of those were. But, it's just interesting technology, which has unfortunately not lasted the test of time. But, it's, what to do now. And,
sitting outside is probably not the best for it.
No. And one of his cars was, original. And there is lots of little cracks in it if you look at it. But they're sure not noticeable. And the other one was really nice, had very few cracks in it. So,
is the one, the 74 with the stick, which was pretty, he thinks it's one of the most original kind of cars,
right?
And believe him, obviously. Yeah. It had a lot of cracks, but he said to just pressure wash out really good and just polish it. And he's like, you'll still see the little line.
Yeah.
And I honestly think the car we have. I mean, really?
Yeah, well, I'm going to try it.
We should try it anyways, because Murr wants to paint it, which I'm not, I am against it. I don't like painting anything. It's not for me.
Ever.
But I think the problem is the doors, because they're so warped. Yeah. They're a big issue and stuff. But I was looking at one of them, the tailgate thing just kind of was a little crooked. Was perfect. It's a kit car.
No, and it's built by people that were not professional auto assemblers, which is one of their problems.
Let's not talk poor about the fishermen.
No,
they're buying a lot of our cars.
They're buying
right
a lot of cars, and I'm hoping bringing lobsters. So, we like Downeasters bite. But, that is the thing. Like the early Corvettes and things like that. There's that learning technology. So, if you have a Corvette and you restore it, you can actually lose points if you over-restore it. You make it nicer than it was, because now with the modern materials, they have the technology to make them way better than they ever were when they were new. So we'll see. It was well worth the trip out and learned all kinds of things. And it's really nice to see what the car would have looked like, because there's a lot of stuff in there. They're going, well, is this original or not? And nobody knows, because there's that many of them around,
but
except for this guy.
I got to say, realizing we have a fairly original car.
Yes.
It looks as rough as that thing is. If you watch the videos, you go, this is pretty hokey poke. I think the center console looks like it's probably custom made.
Yeah.
Maybe the door panels on the side are kind of custom made. But everything, like the panels on the doors and like the top, I should say.
Yeah.
That's how it is.
That looks like the way they were
there
built.
There was screws just, it's a little low here.
Yeah.
Like, that's what they did. So, I gotta say, they're, whatever, we have a lot of issues with it. But they don't rust. The floors are good.
Yeah.
His car underneath looked almost identical to what we got.
Yes, that was another thing. He had a hoist, and was nice enough to put it up in the air so we could look underneath it and see how the thing goes together. Yeah. Pretty straightforward, and again, as Dan said, the more I look at the car, the more original I think it is. It looks in decent shape, so.
Well, I still would love, though, because that car has 17,000 miles on it, is that what it says?
10,000? No, I had more than that. I had 50,000 or 40 or something.
Yours?
Yeah.
No, it's low. Yeah. Low. And I want to know, is it wrapped around, or is it someone put 10,000 miles on this thing and forgot about it?
I don't think that. Oh, like, I don't think it's around, no.
You think it's only got 10,000 miles on it?
Or whatever it is, I think that's original.
And just sat outside and was forgotten about for 35 years in the Florida Everglades.
I think so. I don't think it...
We might have one of the lowest mile original non-restored Bricklands.
Well, I guess we'll just
see. We should make a t-shirt saying that. But we'll for sure have the rattiest.
Yeah, that's right. And it's the 50th anniversary of Bricklands this year. Big celebration down east.
Yeah, I was talking about whatever, one of the big H or whatever.
Yeah.
Malcolm's going to be there,
yeah,
he said.
Yeah, that's right. God. Yeah.
But anyway, so, but after seeing that, it's kind of got me motivated to get on that thing. So the big thing was we got this cross-reference thing. So your wheel cylinders or whatever are from a...
Yeah,
Hornet or
all kinds of stuff is actually pretty easy to come by. It looks like it's American Motors or Dodge Chrysler type stuff. Yeah. Is there?
Well, he said that they on purpose made it like from the like based off like the top four big.
You know what a swindler
things?
Says when he's selling something and after that you did it on purpose. So yeah. It just worked out that the parts he used. Some stuff. See, I was talking to one of the guys, the Bricklin guy, and he was saying the hardest thing to deal with is the fuel tank because it's from a Pinto or a Gremlin maybe or something.
Okay.
And they do not, you can't buy a reproduction Gremlin fuel tank because why would you?
Yes.
And so he's in the process of making his own version.
Right.
So there's stuff like that which we have to be, but I mean the sender I'm sure is just, who cares? It is what it is. But there's certain things like that that are going to be tricky.
Yeah.
But, no, he had some parts. He said he might part with a couple here and there if we need it or whatever.
Yeah, well, we don't really know what we need yet because we've got to take the thing apart from underneath.
Yeah.
But it does look pretty straightforward. I mean, there's nothing that I saw that I go, oh, I've never seen one of those before. It's, you know, just have to look if they came with brakes from this or brakes from that. And really, I think that's easy to come by.
So I think what the current plan is... You work on your Mercedes and is it fixed?
It's done now, I think.
So now you have a spot in the garage. You were gonna, because that thing runs and drives. Drive it in there, jack it up, pull the wheels. See, now we have the cross reference sheet.
Yeah.
Give it a once over. See what it needs. He'll, I'm sure, just send me the shopping cart of what it needs. Buy it now, and at that point we can bring it here, do whatever there. But mechanically, we should be able to get that thing done pretty quick.
Yeah.
Because it's just. I mean, it's super simple strut rod bushings and crap like that.
Yeah, it looks like the front end is it's really pretty chintzy. It came out of a a Gremlin or something. It's pretty light, you know. Like the car is not that heavy, so
So we'll get that. I mean, rust wise, there isn't any.
Yeah, lots of cracks, no rust.
So if we can get it mechanically sound, because it has no back brakes right now, I think the wheel cylinders are seized
or something. Yeah.
So we'll go through that. I mean, replumb it, new fuel line, new brake line, just because it's. Just do it.
Yeah.
And then the air system was kind of meh.
Yeah, it's obviously got some kind of leak because when we got there, he wasn't in the garage and the cars had the gullwing doors up and like ours, they'll stay up for 5 minutes.
Yeah. And had been up since last night.
Yeah. Then it starts to go down. So
well, you can take them apart and fix
them
or
there's
whatever,
obviously... Obviously a leak.
But he also had a honking compressor or something in one of them, right?
He said he spent $700, $900 American on the control
It's
to open and close the doors.
Yeah, like
that's
ours,
what we spent on the whole car.
Well, ours have got just solenoids, like, what are they, the Ford solenoids? I saw them. They're
it's
pretty,
old school
pretty
air ride stuff, but it works.
It works. And his is a nice computer board, all electronic.
Oh, yeah, it's fancy.
It's
he had a key up and down or whatever if you wanted to and stuff.
Yeah,
so.
And that's one of the things I wanted to put on it, that it's just a remote trigger for those things. So your friends at Amazon, $29.95. So
we'll get on that. But
we'll get on
I like to play with that. Next couple weeks, we'll get it mechanically gone through. I mean, it runs. That'll be fine. We can then pressure wash it, see what it looks like, try and polish it up or wet sand or do whatever we got to do. Yeah. I think it'll clean up decent.
Yeah.
Hood we're missing. The big hole up to the hood, which
hood,
we have. It just happens to be in Georgia. And the front...
Yeah, you wouldn't mind just mailing that thing.
I'm working on it.
Yeah.
And then the front accessory drive, because it's got some miscellaneous... Like, when it was never proper from start.
Yeah.
And then when Derek had it and he was trying to road trip it, he kind of took everything off and just... Whatever would kind of hold a belt to turn the water pump, because it had no charge system, it had no power steering. Yeah.
It looks like, from my research, any of the 351 Windsor stuff is the same from, like early 70s to up into the 80s.
Yeah.
The V-belt system, it really looks like alternator, a couple of brackets, a couple of pulleys.
So we got to figure that out. Then, like, it's just got some miscellaneous rad in there. That's going to be the issue, making the rad fit properly, get a cooling fan in there, get the front dress under control.
Well, one thing I noticed, like, he had a problem with it overheating, is that there's some kind of a little bracket that goes on the upper rad hose to keep the fan from touching it, I guess. And the clamp, it's just a gear clamp, a Wittig clamp that goes on. It's tightened so much that the hose is half pinched shut. So I don't know if that happened
the small rod research, they're famous for overheating.
Yeah.
Just because it doesn't have enough. So what it needs is a Delta fan.
Yeah.
So we'll go ahead and order one.
You know
of them.
That Delta guy. And that'll work.
We'll spend, $350, but it'll have a fan that will cool anything. This weekend, John, Motor John, and Cecil, they were doing their, Schroeder ends. They ran the car in Chicago, maybe. They had like some weekend shootout drag and drive car kind of thing.
Yeah.
So anyways, he was going against, he got to the finals, actually won, of all things. Or you want to take a call real quick?
No, I just wanted to, I want to get this fellow's name right, because I can't remember.
So anyways, I'll get back to you. I'll just talk to these people who actually care more.
It's like Mennonite above Mennonite. Schroeder ends.
Yeah.
One end.
No, he's talking about the Russ or Ross. Or
That's what I wanted to say.
But anyway.
Yeah.
So they're talking about the Corvette there, John's Corvette there, and it had the Delta fan and all that on it. And this thing has an 800 and some cubic inch motor with 5 stages of nitrous, and it runs 150 degrees on the road when they're driving. So, again, not even a sponsored plug here because I buy the stuff, but those fans, I tell you, you just can't beat it.
It is Ross. Ross. I thought it was, but, I mean, the guy was so helpful. I don't want to mispronounce his name on the big YouTube channel.
He won't answer our calls anymore, but yeah, so he was a great guy.
And one of them for sure had an electric fan on it. I forget because I saw it. I think the nice one, I think the orange one had an electric fan on it. So obviously, I mean, those cars are dialed. So he knows what to do.
No, he had
do
nice. He had the wheels refinished. He had nice exhaust on them. Like they were.
Yeah.
We didn't hear him run or anything, but they were nice cars.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like the lawnmowers are coming out now that the sun's out.
Yeah. Anyways. So there you go. That's the plan with the Bricklin. Mechanically get it going. We can get over here, start working on it. And just so we're clear, we're even now. You bought me.
Yeah.
And you got yourself a Bricklin.
There you go.
Fair is fair. Thank you so much for watching. Please subscribe below, leave a comment, all those things, and give Murr a hard time in the comments because he doesn't get enough of it from me. See you on the next one.
Bye. Bye. I turned that off. It's this button here.